Hello, welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constantine here.
And this is Becky.
No news today. So there are two topics we're going to discuss, really. The rest doesn't matter. The first one we're going to go really briefly because you hate it, but Nikon Financials second quarter just appeared on the web, so we're going to go through that real quick. And then we're going to talk about global shutter, that big thing that happened last week in the photography world. And we're going to discuss it from our point of view as a Nikon users.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Becky and me already sold our Nikon equipment and switched to Sony PlayStation brand. You know, so stick with us and hopefully you enjoy the show. So Nikon released their second quarter financial results. It's, you know, the financials that eventually we'll end on 31st of March, 2024.
Yes.
So we're in a Q2. Let's have a look at the revenue. The revenue, it was 331.2 billion yen, which is 42.9 billion yen higher year on year. That's pretty good. Operating profit went down, actually, 13.6, which is 10.8 billion down year on year. But revenues grew on the strong sales of imaging product business. Mm-hmm. And that's the one we care about.
That's right.
The cameras, lenses, all this, but also increased sales volumes of lithography systems that Nikon consolidated their additive manufacturing business, like SLM Solution and digital manufacturing business as well. So all this consolidation brought a bit of revenue to Nikon Corp.
Now, in terms of their strategic progress and challenges, well, progress, they rolled out mirrorless cameras with cutting-edge features, the Z8 and the ZF, as we know, and are continuing to expand the lineup of interchangeable lenses. They also say that imaging products and healthcare are progressing well. So precision equipment is responding to environmental changes, and they are focused on strengthening management control of overseas subsidiaries.
All right.
Fascinating stuff, really.
Beautiful stuff. Beautiful corporate speak, or legal speak, as you call
Love
it.
Love it.
Now, let's look at the imaging business. So if you compare the quarter that just ended with the same quarter last year, so we were up on the previous quarter, 23.1 billion yen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good improvement.
Yeah.
I assume those are releases of all those new cameras and lenses and all that. So, yeah, you know, benefited to this particular jump. Operating profit actually also was up 25.2 billion versus 22.2 billion compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So as they say, both revenue and operating profit grew. Sales volumes of mirrorless cameras, mainly the Nikon Z8 and interchangeable lenses for mirrorless cameras, increased. ASP, which is average selling price, rose with a shift toward mid-high-end cameras. And the weaker yen helps. Anything, if you're based in Japan and you export it,
mm-hmm,
you're really doing well because yen is weak. You know why it's important? Because you get more yen for the same money because you sell it in dollars.
Dollars, indeed. In terms of versus their forecast, both the revenue and their operating profit grew in line with what they expected. So their predictions were in, the crystal ball worked for this quarter. For us who are interested in the imaging products business, they highlight the major products as being the Z8, the ZF, Nikkor lenses, and the 135 1.8 planar.
That's interesting because I think last quarter they had Z30 and Z9 in there. So, you know, so it's interesting how the kind of product shifted from one to another.
Yeah.
Lens is still there. Obviously, Nikon is fighting to have a greater attachment,
mm-hmm,
to the purchase of the camera. So you,
yes,
buy a camera, you want to get one or two lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, I think every one of us who is watching this channel, who is actually recording this video, did our part and bought some Nikon equipment recently.
We did. We put some money into their pockets.
Absolutely. Now, let's have a look at the revenue breakdown. So the imaging products were 42% of the whole revenue
business
that Nikon created. And if you look at the regions, then the best selling region was United States at 24% of sales. Then it was Europe at 22% sales.
Whoop, whoop.
Japan at 20. And then China at 16. Others is contributing to 18%. I assume that if we combine China, Japan, and the whole Asian market, then probably it will outsell Europe and United States.
Yes, because it would be over 36%, actually.
Exactly.
And it's interesting that Europe and the USA in terms of revenue are very close to each other now, whereas that never used to be the case.
Yes, and you know, back in the day, we've discussed that actually Europeans were sticking with their DSLRs and not switching to mirrorless.
And now the tables
have turned. It seems like that people who were using DSLRs are finally seeing the cameras,
mm-hmm,
that will allow them to switch. And I think we now have the camera that's actually priced reasonably with the latest tech, which is Nikon ZF.
Yes.
Which not only brings nostalgia, but actually the latest technology, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we have flagships like Z8 and Z9. But while we have the flagships, those are expensive cameras. So that's why I think Nikon ZF, it kind of ties those things nicely. And obviously, hopefully, we will start to see this technology, especially autofocus, trickling down to cheaper products as well. So there is a way to go to improve your sales and saturate the markets with cheaper cameras and sell more. And while Nikon is obviously chasing this high margin and high-end customer, mm-hmm. they also realize with the models like Z30s that there's a market for the niche where you can also get the cameras into the new photographers' hands and hope that eventually they will upgrade to a high-end models.
Right. Now, in terms of the future, the things that we are interested in, which is future products and R&D expenditures, it looks like Nikon are forecasting to spend 26% of their budget on imaging products, mm-hmm. which is second only to precision equipment at 29%. So it does mean that a large chunk of R&D, the second largest, mm-hmm. is going towards imaging products. Does that mean we could have a whole new range of developments over the next year? I think so.
A sweet global shutter from Sony PlayStation.
Which we will talk about very soon.
Absolutely.
Stick now, with us.
Let's have a look at the unit sales. So in second quarter, we saw 280,000 lenses were sold and 170,000 bodies were sold, which is pretty good. It looks like it's a little bit smaller compared to the previous quarter, but I think the Christmas period is coming, so we'll start to see that the next quarter is going to improve as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's also on par with the, in fact, it's almost identical to this time last year's unit sales. We had 10,000 more lens sales than last year, but same number of cameras. So seasonal buying is a thing.
It's actually made me think because, yes, I think photography is a seasonal industry in terms of sales because obviously we have this kind of pre-Christmas sales, including Black Friday. So mm-hmm. we've got big push in there. And then we see another push around summertime where people go for holidays and they buy their latest cameras to take with them.
Yeah.
Speaking of the future, let's see what Nikon is forecasting for next quarter. They are expecting the revenue to be up 25 billion compared to the previous forecast. Gross trends in the market for digital cameras are greater than expected in the previous forecast. So there's more people are ready to buy a new shiny toy.
Excellent.
Raising our sales volume forecast of digital cameras and lenses reflects strong sales of mirrorless cameras. They expect the demand to be so high that they raised their forecast compared to the previous forecast they had for the next quarter.
They are optimistic.
And that's good. It's good to be optimistic, isn't
it? For sure.
There are too many downers nowadays.
Just have hope.
Yeah. Now, operating profit is also expected to be up by 2 billion yen. The yen is weak, so it's probably about $5 or something, but who knows?
Probably.
But again, this is revised as well. So they expect stronger sales. I assume it's Christmas, so if you compare it to the previous Christmas sales, they're probably going to be on par, maybe slightly better. The good news is, obviously, we now have quite a very strong lineup. So we have a flagship of Nikon Z9 and also Z8. So Z8 appeared in May this year. So I assume that the people are still buying Z8 and Nikon is planning to introduce some offers around the Christmas period to incentivize customers to purchase a new camera. So obviously we now have a ZF, which is a lower price model with a great tech and obviously the retro nostalgia, which excited a lot of people. What's missing, of course, is Gen 3 generation of cameras.
Correct.
And that's hopefully will be here at some point next year.
They'll be spending all their R&D budget on it.
Exactly. Obviously, we have Z6 Mark II and Z7 Mark II.
Mm-hmm.
So those seem to be on the end cycle and mm-hmm. will be replaced at some point next year. So we can already see that Nikon is starting to offer savings on those cameras. So it might be a good time to buy unless you're happy to wait for new gen or go for ZF. And we also have Nikon Z5.
Very underrated camera. Now, whether or not they decide to rejig the lineup so that the Z5 is... I don't know how to say this. So I'm just going to say it to you and then see what you say.
Give it to me straight.
Okay. The Z5 is an odd camera. it gives people the platform to jump into the mirrorless system full frame mm-hmm. without the huge expense of CF Express Type B memory cards, which are expensive, but it also gives them a number of features that come out of the Z6, basically. Now, the Z5 seems to have been overlooked by a lot of people, as well as by Nikon, my feel is.
And I wanted to say exactly the same thing. It seems like they don't want you to buy this camera because it's too cheap. Technically, so cheap. When it's priced well, it's about $1,000 or so, mm-hmm. plus minus $100 or so. And it's a full frame sensor. And a full frame sensor, for some of you who shot full frame, which is 99% of you, you know that once you shot full frame, DXG doesn't feel right.
That's right. And also size-wise and compatibility with lenses. I mean, you get everything with the Z5 that you could get almost with a Gen 1 Z6 at this point. So the question is, are they going to rejig the full frame lineup? Are they going to go, okay, now we're going to bring out a Z6 III and a Z7 III, and then we're going to keep the Z6 II around but drop the price of it? I doubt it. Or are we going to leave the Z5 where it is as a cheap entry level full frame, or are we also going to update that? There are so many possibilities.
Yeah, what's interesting to me that Nikon has this strategy of selling previous generation cameras along the new generation cameras. Mm. So in terms of this, I think we will see a small reduction on the Gen 2 models, but it almost makes sense to me that Z6 II effectively may become a Z5
right.
replacement, or they can make a Z5 Mark II, mm-hmm. which effectively will be a rebadged Z6 II model.
Yeah.
Maybe with some spec reduction, but I don't really know what you can reduce. What would be cool, though, is actually keep the same sensor, because sensor is actually good. 24 megapixels, we all know it's kind of a standard base nowadays, so it doesn't matter if the sensor is like, you know, 5 years old or so. Mm. But if you add the autofocus speed and the new processor mm-hmm. and keep the price low, maybe, okay, make it 1,300 or something like this, then bring this model. And that, but then when if they're going to do this, then Z6 II is not going to sell well. That's the pickle that we are in right now.
It's a bit of a sticky wicket. I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball to say what's going to happen with it. I think the Z5 might stick around actually longer than we expect. And the Z6 III and Z7 III will come out, and the Z5 will just stay where it is at the price point it is, because it's not expensive to make, and to update it would cost them more.
Yeah.
And maybe they end up doing what they have done with other things, which is make it exclusive to Nikon store, or make it exclusive to particular geographic markets. And those are all things we've seen done in the past. So it's entirely possible that that could happen again.
That's true. It reminds me of a guy in the house party who stands in the corner with sipping beer for whole evening.
That's Z5
to you. But let's go to the DX lineup. And we have Z50, ZFC, and Z30 cameras, which have been around for quite some time. They're here. Nikon is offering some deals on that. Do you think it is time for refresh at some point in 2024?
Yeah, I think the Z30 is in a really good place. I think the ZFC has the following that it has, and that's fine. I think the Z50, which is the oldest of the three cameras, is the one that's in need of immediate update. And by doing that, they will bring more people into the DX fold. They will also please a lot of DSLR users if they make that Z50 into the camera that we all know and want it to be. Yes. So that's my thoughts and my take on the matter.
Yes, I'm looking at the current sales, and Z30 in the UK, the body only, can be had for effectively £500. And then the basic kit is £639.
Pretty good. Now,
it's not exactly the camera, the lens under £500, which was normally, let's say, well, D3500 on a good day would retail at about £399 with a good sale.
But that is, we're talking a market which is 4 years ago.
Yes.
And things have changed so much.
I mean, inflation is a massive thing. And obviously, after COVID, the labor price have increased, the parts costs have increased. And obviously, with the current inflation and effectively a recession, I mean, we don't want to talk about this, but it is a tough time for a lot of people. So obviously, the price have gone up a little bit. But I think if Nikon can push it down under £500, Z30 with a 6x50 lens would be an incredible deal. That's it for the financial discussion. Nikon is doing well. It's not doom and gloom. Don't trust those comments that you see online. So they're doing okay, and they sell a lot of cameras. All right.
Good.
All right. The next task on the agenda is to discuss this little thing which is called Global Shutter. This very small indie brand called Sony, which apparently makes those sensors, announced the camera, Sony A9 Mark III, with a first-in-the-world global shutter. Now, it's for stills cameras first in the world, because Sony cameras already have global shutters. Canon EOS Sony system also had a global shutter. But this one is first for stills cameras. So now, let's talk what global shutter is.
Yes.
So traditional sensors generally read the image pixel by pixel from left to right, and they do it line by line, and they do it really, really quickly. But not quick enough compared to global shutter, because global shutter read every single pixel at the same time. What that means that for traditional sensors, especially for video work, you may create a bit of wobbling effect or jelly effect when you're filming moving subjects and things like this. You can also get problems with the flickering.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shooting sports events indoors with lots of electronic banners around, the LCDs and all this, then you may get a bit of flicker. So again, global shutter can help with the flicker as well. I personally very excited. I'm very happy for Sony. You know, we are Nikon users. It doesn't mean that we're going to boo-boo Sony for things they do. Obviously, they manufacture the sensors for a lot of manufacturers. First of all, they push in the technology. And obviously, they're going to put that cutting-edge technology in their cameras first, but it doesn't mean that it won't come to other brands.
No. Obviously, with Sony being a sensor manufacturer, they are the ones who have pushed this technology forward, and we are very glad that they have. And it's inevitable that it will come to other brands at some point. Now, for those of you who saw the video showcasing the A9 Mark III, you might have gone, oh gosh, that's exactly what I need. I'm just going to sell my Nikon right now. But hold on, before you do, bear in mind that A, there will be quite a lead time for this camera. And in that interim, we know that manufacturers are often developing technology around the same time. We know that developers and R&D teams speak to each other from other manufacturers as well. So it's entirely possible that we might see something from other brands to the lead up of the arrival of the A9 Mark III.
Yeah. So according to Matt Irvin's video that I saw, that he says about 5-6 months to actual release of the camera. It's the first time I see Sony announcing something so early. It's almost like a development announcement. And speaking of other manufacturers, there is Canon sensor, which is a full frame sensor, which is called ALI-5030SA.
Wow.
Very good name.
Yeah, easy to remember.
Yeah, that sensor was actually introduced in December 2022. It's full frame sensor, but it's not designed for cameras. It's designed for B2B applications.
Right.
So, and in terms of this, it's a 90 megapixel CMOS sensor with a global shutter system intended for use in altitude monitoring, aerial photography by drones, traffic monitoring, space, electron microscopes, etc. So it does all this. This technology existed before. We talked about global shutter for about 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Every time we're doing prediction for next year, we would say global shutter is going to kick in at some point.
That's right.
And it's very important that it is finally happening.
Yes, in terms of applications outside of photographing, let's say events, and reducing or eliminating your flicker on the advertising panels across a football pitch, or the occasional wobble when you're panning, etc. You do have to bear in mind that this will give you other things like no blackout. Now, the Z9 and Z8 already have no blackout with what they have, which is great. That's fantastic. The A9 Mark III gives you 120 frames per second in RAW with no blackout, which is kind of insane at this stage, where this is something that we don't have yet.
Yeah, and they do up to 1 second pre-capture, which you can set up as well.
Also in RAW.
Also in RAW.
The other big deal is for flash photography, because now you don't have a limitation of your maximum flash sync shutter speed, which is fantastic. It means you can basically shoot at any shutter speed with flash.
Okay, let me explain it a little bit. So generally, studio lights and flashes sync up about 200 of a second. Some do it 250, some do it 160, depending on the studio light or flash you have. Obviously, latest flash guns will have HSS system, which basically fast sync speed with reduction of power. So what the global shutter does is effectively, you can sync your light to any shutter speed, even up to 80 thousandths of a second. That's how fast this shutter speed. 80 thousandths of a second.
Holy moly.
That's how fast it can get, you know. So you can freeze pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, effectively, you can capture the actual light the flash produces,
mm-hmm,
while blacking out the actual exposure, the natural light.
Yes.
So you can do it now with everything. So, you know, so before we obviously had leaf shutter lenses and things like this, you know, and that's, let's say, if you're a studio photographer, you say you wouldn't buy a GFX system, you would go for phase one system, you know, because, you know, or maybe Hasselblad because they have leaf shutters.
Yes.
You know, now it eliminates this issue full on. I mean, from that point of view, I think it's incredible. From another point of view, as a kind of a portrait and studio photographer, I kind of somehow managed to get shots I wanted without it, even with film cameras back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I think when we look at this technology, it's amazing that we have it. It's definitely game changer from that point of view, but it obviously opens up a lot of creative things that we didn't have before.
That's right.
So keep that in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. It is problem solving for certain types of photography, which maybe aren't applicable to the majority of photographers, but will be very useful. And obviously for those who aren't really interested in Sony cameras, this really just gives us a signpost for what could be to come in the Nikon range. It sort of hints at what potentially future generations of Nikon cameras could include.
Okay. So we all know that there's a Sony cameras and there's Sony semiconductors that manufacture the sensors, right? So they sell the sensors to other brands. And it's been proved that Nikon Z9 has a Sony sensor in it. Well, Nikon designs the sensors. Mm-hmm. They take off the shelf sensor and then they design for their specifications.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind. Also, Z7 has a Sony sensor as well. So it is highly likely that eventually that global shutter sensor will come in either one or other form into other manufacturers. So do you think Z9 Mark II, which is rumored to happen before the Paris Olympics, will have a global shutter? I mean, for me personally, if it has a global shutter, then it has enough technology to upgrade for a Mark I version.
Right. And I think that would be enough to warrant it. And it would be a little bit like back in the day when a flagship body would come out and the second iteration would be an S. You wouldn't necessarily need to change everything about the camera, but by simply changing one major factor, you've already stepped up the game, essentially. So I think that is very interesting. Bear in mind also the price of the Sony A9 Mark III.
It's not cheap.
It's not a cheap camera, and it's not a flagship built camera. It is actually sort of closer to Z8 size.
Yeah, what's interesting as well is obviously Sony has two models, like their flagship model, which is A1, which is what people compare Z9 with, and they have similar resolution sensor.
Yeah.
And then they have fast models, and this is going to be A9 Mark III, which has a 24 megapixel sensor. Now, Z9 Mark II, would you say they would put a 24 megapixel sensor in it? Or do you think we actually will see an entirely new model? Or could it be a Z6 Mark III, which, again, if you look at it price-wise, it doesn't fit.
No, it's interesting. Actually, the first thing that I looked at was the fact that it was 24 megapixels and thought, this is like a premium Z6 Mark III. But with that price tag, that's hard to sell to Nikon users, I think, because we have kind of been indoctrinated into thinking, the higher the resolution sensor, the more expensive the camera will be.
Back in the day, yeah.
Those 24 megapixel cameras tend to be under £3,000. I mean, the Z6 II and the ZF, they're all sub £3,000. So to put in a global shutter and then whack on a $6,000 price tag.
Capital global shutter.
Yeah.
That's you get a leaflet and it just says global shutter and a picture of Z9.
And that's it.
That's all you need to do. I think it's enough to, you know, because no one has it.
Yeah.
A part of Sony A9 Mark III. You know, then I think it's enough for people to justify the upgrade. But
sure.
Do you think we might get to the good old days where we had D2H and D2X, and let's say Z9 right now would be equivalent of D2X, which is a high resolution camera.
And then it was Z9H.
And Z9H, we'll end up with a 24 megapixel and global shutter. What do you think? The viewers tell us, would you buy a camera like this? Would you, Becky?
I would not, because I do not need
that. But do you think there's a possibility? Or do you think Nikon will introduce an entirely new model, like Z1 or something like this?
That would be fascinating. I think it would be genuinely exciting to see them bring out a new range, which is designed specifically for high speed. But I feel like it falls into the Z8's remit. So to then bring out an entirely new, I mean, it's too soon to bring out a
Z8. Well, that's the thing. That's my issue. That's why I'm looking at Z9, really, more than anything else. But do you think Z6 Mark III or Z7 Mark III will have any of those things? Or do you think the price is just going to be too high? Because from one point, we are expecting them to be released next year. From another point, we expect them to be more or less the same price as Gen 2 cameras when they were first released.
Yeah.
So the global charter seems like it's an expensive thing to add.
It does. And I suppose the question would then be, would people buy a 6.3 or a 7.3 if it doesn't have global shutter? Presumably they would. So would Nikon invest in that technology and put them there, or would they go, no, most people will be happy to buy a 6.3 and a 7.3 with the improvements that we're expecting. And then we have another camera that has a global shutter, call it a Z7.5. I don't know, 6.5. I genuinely don't know. We've run out of numbers.
Z7 Pro.
Maybe call it a Z4.
Z7 Max.
Z7 Max. Do what Apple does.
Just call them Z7 and release them every year, you know, with updates as spec. But do you think, from consumer point of view, people now will look at the camera and any comment we're going to get for the new release is like, oh, it's no global shutter. Do you think that's what we're going to get now? Like, people found now an excuse to complain on the internet. What do you think?
I think that it's inevitable that we will get some of those comments, and that's fine. Those who need the global shutter, there is one in existence for you, and there will be many more to come. So don't you worry.
We live in a global world. Now there's a global shutter for everyone at a price. So tell us what you think about this global shutter event in the photography world. Do you think it's a game changer, like marketing would like us to speak? Would you sell all your Nikon equipment to upgrade to the camera that's coming out in 6 months? Or do you think it will eventually end up in all brands and we'll have it at some point at a high price to start with, and eventually in the 3-4 years, we'll get global shots in every camera? I want to hear your opinion as well as Becky.
Start typing. Now, if you would like to learn more about it because you feel unsatisfied by our description, there are actually plenty of reviews out there already. F-Stoppers have just posted a video called Sony Just Changed Photography Forever with the A9 Mark III. Then we have Seth at Adorama, who has posted Sony A9 Mark III Global Shutter Image Sensor Camera. And then we also have a lovely video by Matt Irwin as well on the subject of the global shutter, as well as other news about Nikon and Canon. So certainly check those out. That's your weekend read and watch as well, homework for you.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. Our normal news cycle will resume next week as per usual. But in the meantime, please give us a like, a subscribe, a follow, rating, review, all that good stuff.
We are available on all podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Unlimited. So if you like to listen to us in audio version, then we are there, and do leave us a review there as well, because it is greatly appreciated by us.
That's right. We're also on the internet, on Instagram. I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Grays.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.